Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vaibhava ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jainikai Goprema Nandi. So what have we discussed in our previous class?
Yamduta were very disappointed for being interfered by Vishnuduta. So they are asking sort of explanation why you were so much insulted.
Good point. Any other point?
A condition for the true dharma, dharma of the body, and dharma of the soul is the Sanatana.
Good, that's the last section. Any other points?
By following the dharma of the kama, one can attain liberation or go to higher than the system. But by following the dharma, one can get out of and go to the system.
Anything else?
If one doesn't regulate the self-gratification, why do you get the feeling there?
Good. Any other points?
The four goals of the study, that is dharma, the kama, and the fifth one is the prema.
Good. Anything else?
Many people will take morality for future. Being pious and being good.
Any other points?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found the fifth chapter of Dhamma Samhita, and the Guru brought him to Bengal, and then that shows that Krishna is the Supreme. But Yamduta thought that Yamduta is the Supreme. So that's why it's very
important. What is the sixth canto discussing? Poshanam. Poshanam means protection. There are 10 subject matters spoken about in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is mentioned in the 10th chapter, in the first verse of the second canto. So it discusses that the sixth canto specifically deals with Poshanam. Poshanam means protection by the Lord. So we see in this canto that Ajamiyo is being protected, Chitraketu is being protected, Vritrasura is being protected, Indra is being protected. So there is a description about how the Lord protects his devotees in different pastimes. Then, what is the correlation or the connection between fifth canto and the sixth canto? We hear about the hellish planets at the end of the fifth canto, and then Maharaj Parikshit asks Shukadeva Goswami, how is it that the living entities can avoid falling into this kind of hellish circumstance? So he says that one must perform atonement, prayaschitta, and that is rejected by Parikshit Maharaj. He says, no, this will not destroy the sinful proclivity or the sinful tendency within the jivas. So therefore, Srila Goswami then describes that only bhakti will actually destroy all of the sinful tendencies within the living entities. To substantiate this point, then he begins to tell the pastime of Ajamil. How Ajamil was a pure person, but then due to impure association, then he became attracted to the material energy once again. He fell down from his pure position. But then at the end of his life, he began to chant the name Narayana, not meditating on the Lord, but rather meditating on his son, in other words, another personality. But still, by the power of the holy name, we see that he was saved from the Yamadutas by the Vishnudutas. And then there was a conversation between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas in the second chapter. And now the Yamadutas have returned back to Yamaraj and they're now questioning him about his authority. Are you the supreme authority? The Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the main points of the Bhagavatam is to describe the glories of chanting the holy name, the process of Harinam Anukirtana, which is mentioned in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. So to show the potency of chanting the holy name, right in the middle of the Bhagavatam is the pastime of Ajamil in the sixth canto. So tonight we'll go from verses 12 to 21. Pushing towards the wall. I can see the lotus face of the devotees. Any points about what we've discussed? Okay, welcome back. How long were you gone?
Around
40 days. In Vrindavan. Did you stay at that ashram?
No.
Really? Together. That's good. What's it called?
The Shattas Ashram, the Sanjay.
Okay. You just go back? Welcome back. Okay, so we'll begin with verse 12 and we'll go to verse 21. Yamaraj said, "My dear servants, you have accepted me as the supreme, but factually I am not. Above me above all the other demigods, including Indra and Chandra, is the one supreme master and controller. The partial manifestations of his personality are Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, who are in charge of the creation, maintenance and annihilation of this universe. He is like the two threads that form the length and breadth of a woven cloth. The entire world is controlled by him, just as a bull is controlled by a rope in its nose." Melanie Prabhu, can you read this?
The oral carriers of Yamaraj suspected that there was a ruler even above Yamaraj. To eradicate the doubt, Yamaraj immediately replied, "Yes, there is one supreme controller above everything. Yamaraj is in charge of some of the moving living entities, namely the human beings, but the animals who also move are not under his control. Only human beings have consciousness of right and wrong, and among them only those who perform sinful activities come under the control of Yamaraj. Therefore, although Yamaraj is a controller, he is only a departmental controller of a few living entities. There are other demigods who control many other departments, but above them all is one supreme controller, Krishna. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchitananda Vigraha. The supreme controller is Krishna. Others who control their own departments in the affairs of the universe are insignificant in comparison to Krishna, the supreme controller. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mata Parakram Nanyat Kinchit Asti Dhananjaya. My dear Dhananjaya Arjuna, no one is superior to me. Therefore, Yamaraj immediately cleared away the doubts of his assistant, the Yamaduta, by confirming that there is a supreme controller above all others. Srila Madhvacharya explained that the word Ottam Prottam refers to the cause of all causes. The Supreme Lord is both vertical and horizontal to the cosmic manifestation. This is confirmed by the following words from the Skanda Purana. Yatta Kanta Pata Sutra Otto Protasyata Sita Evam Vishnam Idam Vishvam Ottam Prottam Ka Samsitam. Like the two threads, horizontal and vertical, of which a quilt is manufactured, Lord Vishnu is situated as the vertical and horizontal cause of the cosmic manifestation.
So, any points of interest here?
Only human beings have the consciousness of right and wrong. So, Yamaraj is controlling only those. But Supreme Commander is Krishna. Vishwadharma. And also Krishna says in the movie that Mata Bhattan Nani Shilikum.
I mean, those who are sinful come unto the presentment of Yamaraj.
Yep.
When it comes to the disciples of Yamaraj, they don't have the understanding about who is the Supreme Council.
Just like you see in India, not everyone understands these things. Well, same thing. I don't know. They're somewhat confused. The demigod worship is all through India, so it's a similar situation. Worship, the demigod worship. Any other point?
I have it though. As I said, the only sinful person to come to the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. Everybody has some sinful and some pious credit. So that means even those who have some pious things will come to Yamaraj? Or is it only exclusively, predominantly sinful? How do you understand that?
That's my understanding. So predominantly sinful people. That's my understanding. I could be wrong. But that's according to what Prabhupada is saying here, that's what Prabhupada can be saying. And if you hear the description, he sends them to hellish planets and things. So it seems like he's only dealing with a certain type of person. So I could be wrong on that, sure. Haven't been there for a while. I mean, I don't think I've been there for a while. Maybe I have. I can't remember.
In the description somewhere, I can't really give a reference, you probably would not. In the story somewhere, the certain personality was asked whether they want to suffer first the sinful reactions or they're going to have a dynasty of the five. So which would indicate that there is, that one has to pay for one's karma, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, you have to pay for the karma, but whether or not you go to Yamaraj or not, that's the question. Everyone gets karma, everyone's accruing karma.
Yeah.
But whether or not you go to Yamaraj or not, it seems it's only for very sinful living entities. That's the point. Any other points?
What we understand from Srila Prabhupada's purpose is that only devotees do not go to Yamaraj. All the others have to kill them, human beings.
Maybe not the pious one. I'm not sure. I actually don't. But I think it's the more simple. At least Prabhupada's indicating that. So, one of the principal objectives of the Bhagavatam is to establish the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This has been clarified in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, in the third chapter, the 28th verse. Ete chamsa kalasamsa. Krishna Sri Bhagavan Swayam. So Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And all others are simply Krishna's servants. So the Bhagavatam is clarifying this. So in this particular pastime, we're hearing that Krishna is being established as supreme because the Yamadutas are approaching Yamaraj and they say there must be someone above you. And he's indicating, yes, there is someone above me. It is Krishna, it is Narayan, it is Vishnu. There is a higher cause than me, a more powerful personality than myself. This is one of the main points of the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada quotes the verse in the Brahma Samhita, which is the same as the Bhagavatam verse. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, like that. So Krishna is the original cause of all causes. So everyone else is subordinate, and Krishna is the original supreme. This is substantiated throughout the entire Bhagavatam, all the way through. And in the 10th canto, there are pastimes which show that Krishna is superior to Vishnu, because Mahavishnu steals the sons of the Brahmana, and Arjuna and Krishna have to go and retrieve them. So this shows that even Mahavishnu, he wants to have darshan of Krishna. He's attached to Krishna. He considers himself subordinate to Krishna. He is an expansion of Krishna. And then you see the pastime with Bhrigu Muni, where he goes to Brahma, and then he goes to Shiva, and then he goes to
Vishnu himself. But all these pastimes are substantiated. Krishna is the cause of all forms. Krishna defeats Indra, he defeats Brahma, he defeats Varuna, he defeats unlimited personality. And then there's even a fight where Krishna and the Yadu dynasty, they are attacked by the most powerful demigods, and Krishna and Shiva have a battle. And I can't remember, I haven't read it for a long time, but then Prajumna is fighting with Kartikeya, I think, and like huge battles taking place. And Krishna's family, the Yadavs, they remain victorious. So all these things are displayed in Krishna's pastime.
Is that
Vanasura? Mm-hmm. In the 10th temple. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great battle between the two. Mm-hmm. And we see that Krishna comes out supreme. We should get to that pastime in about 8 years from now. So, even in the Bhagavatam, it's described that Krishna is even the source of Balaram. In the Brahma Vimohan Leela, Krishna stole the, Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys. And then for 1 year, Krishna took the place of the cowherd boys and the calves. And then after 1 year had passed, like 3 days before the year finished, then Balaram, he began to question, why is it that for this entire year, everyone in Vrindavan has been attached to their children just like they'd be attached to Krishna? Because in Vrindavan, everyone's more attached to Krishna than even to their own children. And the cows have been as attached to the calves as they normally are to Krishna. So then Balaram, he says to Krishna, how can this be? It must be that you have become the calves and the cowherd boys. So why would that have happened? How did that take place? So then Krishna explains that Lord Brahma has played a trick. I've bewildered him. So even Balaram himself, the first expansion of Krishna, even he sometimes becomes... the Bhagavatam shows, or Krishna's pastimes show, that even he is subordinate to Krishna. Krishna is more powerful, even than Balaram himself. So everyone is subordinate to Krishna. This is the conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of all Vedic riches. So this is one of the principal purposes of the Bhagavatam. And this pastime is showing that. Yamaraj is not supreme. In case you're attached to this.
Our Guru Maharaj said that that was the time when
Radharani
got married to Krishna.
During that 1 year.
Krishna was
all the gopis got married that year.
Yes.
To different cowherd boys.
Yes.
So then they had pretend husbands.
Yes.
So-called husbands. Any other points? Harasava, Richard. Krishna is supreme, my soul incarnate. Any other points?
Is Chandra superior to Yama Dharma Raj?
What's that?
Is Chandra superior to Yama Dharma Raj? Yes. Above me and above all the demigods, including Indra and Chandra.
He's just offering respect to himself. The nature of devotees offer respect to other devotees. Any other point?
So can we take that then Yama Dharma Raj does not know the future?
I think Prabhupada's already said earlier in his three colors, yeah.
But then how did he stand in the answer?
You already asked this question, didn't you?
Short.
Kali Yuga key?
Yeah.
I think I asked that one.
You ask it every class. Any other points? Okay. And on the way home, you ask your husband once again. Just as the driver of a bullock car ties ropes through the nostrils of his bulls to control them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all men through the ropes of his words and the Vedas, which set forth the names and activities of the distinct orders of human society, Brahmanas, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. In fear, the members of these orders all worship the Supreme Lord by offering him presentations according to their respective activities.
In this material world, everyone is conditioned regardless of who he is. One may be a human being, a demigod or an animal, tree or plant, but everything is controlled by the laws of nature, and behind this natural control is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is confirmed by Bhagavad Gita, wherein Krishna says, Maya Dekshena Prasati Priyasecha Devartana. The material nature is working under my direction and producing all moving and non-moving beings. Thus Krishna is behind the natural machine which works under his control.
What are the points in the first paragraph?
Does Krishna is the supreme controller?
The condition for being a soul which happens in the human body.
So we see that the material energy is working under Krishna's control. Jagat Vipara Vasati, and Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that this material energy is simply working under his control. So everything in the material world is ultimately being controlled by Krishna through his expansion of Vishnu. So Mahavishnu, he glances, and his glance makes the material world begin to operate. And then Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters, and by his desire, then the material world begins to manifest, and then through Shiridakshaya Vishnu, then the material world continues and is maintained. So ultimately, it's by Krishna that this entire material cosmic manifestation is manifest and is acting. Krishna says it's by his glance, then everything manifests. Of course, it's not Krishna himself who glances, it is his expansion of Vishnu. Krishna himself would not take any pleasure in simply creating the material world. It's a function of, you could say, like work. Even though for Vishnu it's not work, because Vishnu is supreme, so it's not laborious for him or difficult for him. It's still, it's a secondary pastime of the Lord. Creating the material world is a secondary activity. Krishna's principal activity is enjoying his Leela Shakti in Vrindavan. And then Krishna expands himself outside of Vrindavan to Mathura, to Dwarka. And then throughout the Vaikuntha regions, he expands himself once again. But then when it comes to creating the material world, that is simply an expansion of an expansion. There's a plenary portion of him. So it is Krishna, but it's not Krishna directly. Krishna does not take place, does not engage in these kind of activities directly. Just like, would you go to work if you didn't have to? If you didn't have to go to work, you wouldn't go to work, so why would you do it? You have to go to work. So Lord Vishnu, he has to create the material world for all of us who want to be separate from Krishna. The Krishna himself does not engage in those kind of activities. He's simply engaged in lila or in pastime. Any points? Okay. So read the second paragraph.
Apart from other living entities, the living being in the human form of body
is systematically controlled by the Vedic injunctions in terms of divisions of Varna and Ashrama. A human being is expected to follow the rules and regulations of Varna and Ashrama. Otherwise, he cannot escape punishment by Yamaraj. The point is that every human being is expected to elevate himself to the position of the Brahma, the most intelligent man. And then one must transcend that position to become a Vaishnava. This is the perfection of life. The Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra can elevate themselves by worshipping the Lord according to their activities. Sway Sway Karmani, Adhirata, Samshiddhi, Labhate Vara. The divisions of Varana and Ashrama are necessary to ensure the proper execution of duties and peaceful existence of everyone. But everyone is directed to worship the Supreme Lord who is all pervading. Yena Sarvam Idam Tatam. The Supreme Lord exists vertically and horizontally, Otam Otam. And therefore, if one follows the Vedic injunctions by worshipping the Supreme Lord according to one's ability, his life will be perfect. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.30, Atah Pundi Dvija Shrestha Varanashrama Vibhagasha Swanatishtasya Dhammasya Samsiddhit Hari Poshana. O best among the twice-born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste, division and order of life, is to please the Lord Hari. The Varanashrama institution offers the perfect process for making one eligible to return home back to Godhead. So the aim of every Varana and Ashrama is to please the Supreme Lord. One can please the Lord under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. And if one does so, his life is perfect. The Supreme Lord is worshipable and everyone worships him directly or indirectly. Those who worship him directly get the results of liberation quickly, but the liberation of those who serve him indirectly is delayed.
Okay. A little point to make following paragraph.
That the human being are controlled by the Vedic injunction and they should actually follow the injunctions and become the Brahmanas and then transcend that position and start the kingdom.
One who does not follow the Ashram system, he will definitely commit to both religious and be under the jurisdiction of the Anasashtra system. They don't follow the duties of Anasashtra system. By following the duties of Anasashtra system, one from a mode of ignorance elevates himself to the mode of goodness and becomes Brahmana. And then he can become a Vaishnava. He must understand the mode of goodness and become a Vaishnava.
That we need to engage in sense gratification, then it will bring into the action.
Yeah. So it means that in Kali Yuga, we can't establish Varnashram properly anyway. Where is Varnashram here in Kali Yuga? Practically, it's not there. And we can't establish it properly in Kali Yuga. It can't be established correctly. Because as Banu Swami... Banu Swami here?
Tomorrow.
So, as His Holiness Banu Swami explains, that in order for Varnashram to be maintained on Earth, you need a representative of Manu on Earth. And we don't have those types of chaturas anymore. Since Yudhishthira and Parikshit left, since that time there have not been chaturas that were powerful enough to control human society and to establish Varnashram properly. So there's no Varnashram these days. You have something that looks like Varnashram sometimes. Obviously some people who look Brahminical and who act Brahminically, but we won't establish it again. It won't happen again. And even you see these days that, you know, some devotees, they become very emphatic that we have to establish Varnashram, and that 50% of Prabhupada's work is not done, and we have to establish Varnashram. But it's not possible to fully establish it. So therefore, in this paragraph, in the third paragraph, Prabhupada says, the only hope for Kali Yuga is Harinam Sankirtan. By the Sankirtan Yajna, all the faults which are there in Kali Yuga, which includes a lack of Varnashram institution, all of that is overcome by the performance of Harinam Sankirtan. So that is the Yuga Dharma. So by performing Yuga Dharma Harinam Sankirtan, you will get all the benefits that you can derive from following a proper Varnashram institution under a qualified ruler and progressing in your bhakti. All of those defects which are there in Kali Yuga because of a lack of that system, that can all be overcome by Harinam Sankirtan. And actually, it is said that the demigods are taking birth in the Sankirtan movement because they understand that the opportunity which is there in Kali Yuga to progress, it's not even there in other ages when Varnashram is properly established, such as in Dwapara Yuga or Treta Yuga or Satya Yuga, like that. But in Kali Yuga, even though there is no actual Varnashram Dharma as it was previously, you can get more benefits, actually. And what will take 60,000 years of meditation in Satya Yuga, you can do in 60 years in Kali Yuga. There's the potency of Harinam Sankirtan. You have to learn to chant properly. You have to learn to stay awake in your realm. You have to learn to chant attentively. You have to develop Namuchi, or a taste for the Holy Name. It's a progress. It's a process of purification. So it depends on the quality of our chanting. This is how we progress. So Prabhupada is saying in the purport that we are expected to come first to the platform of a Brahmana. Means you have to develop all Brahminical qualities. Right? As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Samo, Dhamma, Kapha, Socha. Then we have to develop Brahminical qualifications. So Srila Prabhupada said that ISKCON is meant to create a society of Brahmanas. So you should see people have Brahminical qualities and qualifications. That is the result of following the process of Bhakti Yoga properly, is that you will develop these auspicious Brahminical qualities. And then, on that platform of establishing those qualities or developing those qualities, it is easier to practice devotional service. It's much easier to practice devotional service when your heart is purified and you develop good qualities and you destroy your own heart. So we are meant to develop Brahminical qualification. In other words, we should see the devotees developing good qualities. The devotees should have these good qualities in their personality by following the process of bhakti. They should come to a Brahminical platform. So what are the Brahminical qualities? Sama. Sama means your equipoise. Dhamma. Dhamma means your self-control. Tapa. Tapa means you can perform austerity comfortably. You can perform austerity. So chum means you are honest. So you have to develop these good qualities. So by performing devotional service, we should see that these good qualities are manifesting in the personality. Then it is much easier to perform devotional service and become a Vaishnava. So this is the process. Prabhupada says, first develop a brahminical quality, then it means cultivate while you're doing a devotional service, cultivate the mode of goodness, and cultivate a brahminical lifestyle, which will assist you in performing your devotional service or progressing in your devotional service. Prabhupada says the most effective way to do this is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. So the process in Kali Yuga is actually very simple. That you perform Harinam Sankirtan Yajna, and you perform your devotional service under the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master. So it's a very rapid process. You find a qualified guru, you surrender to him, you perform Harinam Sankirtan, and in this one lifetime, you can fully perfect your consciousness and then go back to the spiritual world. That is the power of the process. So the process is far more powerful than practically in any other age, meaning that we can perfect ourselves in a very short amount of time. You simply find a bona fide spiritual master, you surrender unto him, you perform your devotional service following in his footsteps, the Harinam Sankirtan process, and you can fully liberate yourself. That is the potency of this process in this age. So it is very auspicious. Kali Yuga is very auspicious. Although it is an ocean of faults, it has one good quality. That is one must chant. Harinam Anukirtanam. Anukirtanam means to follow. Means you must take initiation in order for your mantra to become effective. Any points?
As you said right in the beginning of the class, India there is so much of hotspots going on. They don't think Krishna is supreme. I know Brahma Kumari, there is an ashram in India. They think Shiva is supreme. And Krishna is just a boy. Like a puppet in their hands. Seemingly confused. So we have to thank Sri Prabhupada for giving us the right conception of the right line so we can go to spiritual world.
And then His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj, he read one of Prabhupada's books and then he realized that Prabhupada was a Satguru or a Satguru. He was a perfect spiritual master. And then he heard Prabhupada was staying in this particular city. So he traveled to that city to meet Srila Prabhupada. So then he came and then he went to the place where Prabhupada was staying and he came in there. And he actually met Prabhupada. But he didn't realize it was Prabhupada. And he was discussing with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, where did you come from? And what are you doing like that? And then he was discussing with him. And then he said, Radha Govinda Maharaj said to Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he didn't realize he was speaking to Prabhupada. Prabhupada had not identified himself. So then Prabhupada said to him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Radha Govinda Maharaj began to chastise Prabhupada. He said, no, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada laughed and he walked into the other room. And Prabhupada laughed and he said, he chastised me. And then he found out, oh, that's actually Prabhupada. Prabhupada was just testing him. So in India there's so many false conceptions like that. But Prabhupada has given perfect clarity on behalf of the specific professional. Any other points?
Even during this discussion point, Prabhupada defeated Maharaj in communication, he defeated. And he was not able to answer, then he said, whatever you say, but he is the supreme.
Actually, he was distinguishing his rights very nicely. Now, the Buddha class, he told us, and he and then to the Brahman by him, and then he called him, and then he said that it was him, and then that's how this thing started. Actually, he was belonging to Hanuman Das Prasad, but he did.
Okay. I, Yamaraj, Indra, the King of Heaven, Nirithi, Varuna, Chandra, the Moon God, Agni, Lord Shiva, Pavana, Lord Brahma, Surya, the Sun God, Vishwasu, the Eight Vasus, the Sajjas, the Maruts, the Rudras, the Siddhas, and Marichi, and the other great rishis engaged in maintaining the departmental affairs of the universe, as well as the best of the demigods headed by Brihaspati, and the great sages headed by Bhrigu, are all as certainly free from the influence of the two basic material modes of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Nevertheless, although we are in the mode of goodness, we cannot understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is to be said of others who, under illusion, merely speculate to know God?
The man and other living entities within the cosmic manifestation are controlled by the three modes of nature. All the living entities controlled by the base qualities of nature face passion and ignorance. There is no possibility of understanding God. Even those in the mode of goodness, like the many demigods and the great rishis described in this verse, cannot understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of God. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, one who is situated in the devotional service of the Lord is transcendental to all the material qualities. Therefore, the Lord personally says that no one can understand him but the Bhaktas, who are transcendental to all material qualities. Asya Maam Abhijanati. As stated by Vishnu Dev to Maharaj Yudhishthira in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.16, Nahi Asya Karishti Rajan Puman Veda Vidhishthitam Yat Vidhinam Sya Yukta Mugyanti Pravyo Apiviti. O King, no one can know the plan of Lord Sri Krishna, even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. No one therefore can understand God by speculating knowledge. Indeed, by speculation, one will be bewildered, Mujandi. This is also confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 7.3. Manushyanam sanshreshu tasya yatapi siddhaye yathartham api siddhanam tasmin maam vedantasata. Among many thousands of men, one may endeavor for perfection, and even among the siddhas, those who are already imperfect, only one who adopts the process of bhakti, devotional service, can understand Krishna.
Any points here?
Only by bhakti can understand Krishna.
Any other points?
Three requisites to understand Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, Prabhupada is extending this point, the Bhagavatam is extending this point from the previous verse, that from the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance, it is very difficult to progress in bhakti. This is spoken of by Kapila Dev in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, that devotional service can be performed in the mode of ignorance, and it can also be performed in the mode of passion, and also in the mode of goodness. And then there is pure devotional service. So devotional service in the mode of ignorance is tinged. Quite often, one of the principal qualities is that the devotee is a separatist. He does not know how to associate with the other devotees properly is like Kanishta Adhikara. Cannot associate with other devotees properly. And quite often becomes angry at other devotees. That, in other words, very difficult to get along with. Too much in the mode of ignorance. So the tendency is to commit offenses, and then it becomes very difficult for that person to progress in Krishna consciousness. Then, in the mode of passion, it also mentions the person is somewhat of a separatist, and he also tends to become angry at devotees, and he's very materialistically motivated. In other words, he wants to be very successful, but it's based upon the externals in Krishna consciousness. In other words, he wants to be known for being the biggest book distributor. He wants to be known for being a famous devotee. So by the mode of passion, we become influenced by material desires in our devotional service. Even though we're performing bhakti and devotional service, but there is a lot of material motivation mixed in with the service. So in the mode of goodness, it is easier to progress in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, the mode of goodness must be cultivated. We must learn to live our lives in the mode of goodness. Then we can progress in bhakti. Now, it's much easier when you're in the mode of goodness to progress. So you have to situate yourself in the mode of goodness, which is very difficult because modern society does not support the cultivation of the mode of goodness. Just like many of you work and your lifestyle is not conducive or it's not exactly in the mode of goodness. It's more in the mode of passion. You have to be at work early, you have to stay at work till late. So much has to be done. Why does so much have to be done? Say this to your boss tomorrow. And he says, is everything done? You say, why does so much have to be done? What is the necessity? Of course, your job will become jeopardized, but you can say like that. That it is too much based on the mode of passion, too much based on the material progress being made. Whereas in the mode of goodness, everything becomes very steady. And especially you'll see that in India, quite often things take a little bit of time to happen. This is partially due to the mode of goodness. People are more relaxed there. It's coming, no problem. Just now coming, no problem. A little bit more mode of goodness there. Of course, it can go too much the other way. As well. So, Srila Prabhupada actually, the one who is in the mode of pure goodness is very similar to one who is in the mode of goodness. It is explained by one of the Acharyas who comments on the Bhagavatam. He says, when you examine the two modes, goodness and pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva and Sattva Gun, he said they are very similar. In other words, someone who is in the mode of goodness and someone who is in pure goodness, like Srila Prabhupada, you'll see very similar traits and qualities. So we should follow Srila Prabhupada's example of how to live in the mode of goodness. But for him it was pure goodness, but he was showing us how to live at least in the mode of goodness, the sattvic lifestyle. Prabhupada was very regulated. He was very punctual. You know, one time he was waiting for the curtains to open in Krishna Balaram Mandir. At the greeting the deity. So Prabhupada was standing there with the other devotees waiting for to greet. And the pujaris were 1 minute late. So Prabhupada turned to the devotees and said, it's very difficult to be a brahmana in Kali Yuga. Very difficult to be punctual like that. We should examine Prabhupada's example. We should learn to be a little bit punctual. We have fun and trouble. I'm just singling you out. So. Many are not punctual, but I'm singling you out. You also have a problem with that. And Lila Maya Radhika, who laughs, and even when I tell her, she still will come late every time. Okay. But actually, Srila Prabhupada was punctual. Okay. And you see the way Prabhupada lived, it was a very regulated. Prabhupada would do his morning walk at the same time every day. He would get up at the same time every morning. He would eat at the same time every day. He would go for his walk at the same time. He would have his massage at the same time. the Prabhupada was very regulated by that. This is conducive for practicing bhakti. So we should try to regulate ourselves and become the most goodness as much as possible. Any points? Separatist means has problems associating with the other devotees. Some people they find it difficult to associate with the devotees. They like to be separate from the devotees. And the reason is because they don't know how to cooperate or work with other devotees. So then they kind of keep separate like that. And sometimes they may be a bit critical of other devotees. Any other points?
So how do you understand that Indra is always more of goodness, isn't it naturally among the animals?
That means primarily the more of goodness.
But finally appears in Prabhupada only because of the other animals.
That's what it's like. It's like you might be a very good person.
I am.
She's not become proud, Shaitan. I'm not proud, I am humble. No, it's actually true, you are like that. But even when someone, I wasn't speaking about you, but when someone, even when they're a very good person, but if they do one bad thing, everyone remembers that thing. That's the nature of that. So Indra is a very good devotee, actually. But then he does one or two bad things, everyone remembers that. That's just the way the world is. It's like if you think of President Clinton, right, he had to fall down with someone who was not his wife. That's what everyone remembers, even though he was president for 4 years or 8 years, I think. And he did so many other things, but everyone just remembers that incident. You say President Clinton, everyone says, oh, that happened. Or British Prime Minister Tony Blair, right, everyone just remembers that he sent the soldiers to Iraq. Okay. So this is the way they remember. That's the nature. Sure.
On the same front, now this is just an example, that during my marriage, 25 years ago, my father-in-law did not do this particular aspect.
You still remember?
No, generally I'm making my father did everything.
What did you have for lunch today?
That was a ecology.
Ecology?
No, I'm joking.
You can just imagine my position of being a facilitator in a group one. How purified I must be, I must be becoming. Very special. You want to share? Any other points?
From the post chapter,
you come back to Earth.
From the post chapter, and then
so many Indras in this room.
My name is Mahendra. Mahendra.
Such a humble group. So many years of studies, so much humility being developed by the group as a whole. Maybe we should go back to cancer life. See how we go. Okay. Even if we don't learn anything, everything's very entertaining. So the class is very satisfying. As the different limbs of the body cannot see the eyes, the living entities cannot see the Supreme Lord, who is situated as the super soul in everyone's heart. Not by the senses, by the mind, by the light air, by thoughts within the heart, or by the vibration of words can the living entities ascertain the real situation of the Supreme Lord.
Although a different part of the body do not have the power to see the eyes direct the movements of the body in different parts. The leg move forward because the eyes see what is in front of them, and the hand touches because the eyes see tactile entities. Similarly, every living being acts according to direction of his pursuit, to situate within the heart, as the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 15.15. I am sitting in everyone's heart and giving directions for remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. As in Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Ishra Sara Bhutanam Hridayasyajan Tishtati. The Supreme Lord, as his person situated within the heart, the living entity cannot do anything without the sanction of his person. His person is acting at every moment. But the living entity cannot understand the form and the activity of super soul by manipulating his senses. The example of the eyes and the bodily limbs is very appropriate. If the limbs could see, they could walk forward without the help of the eyes. But that is impossible. Although one cannot see the super soul in one's heart, through sensual activity, the direction is necessary. So, super soul is guiding us in everything, in every walk. Without super soul, we can't do anything. We can't remember anything. And forgetfulness also is there. Remembrance is everything.
Anything else? So, all of us are dependent upon? Ultimately, we're dependent upon Krishna. So, that's how the devotee should think. We should think we are dependent upon Krishna and learn to rely upon Krishna. Not think that we have to become dependent in other ways or that we have to look after ourselves. Of course, we're practical. Practical means that we have to make some practical arrangement for ourselves in this world so that we can be maintained. But we think that Krishna is maintaining us. That is bhakti. So even when we get some maintenance, we receive some protection or some maintenance that the devotee thinks that he's coming from? Krishna. Okay. It works along like that. Instead of thinking independently. Sometimes we get carried away and we think that we need to economically develop more. But sometimes that can become a great distraction to bhakti. I know Burajan Prabhu sometimes has told some of his disciples to take a lower position in the company as opposed to a higher position in the company, so that they can not be as materially entangled or not be have as much responsibility, which will simply cost them more time and energy. Even though they may get more material benefits in terms of money, but still they can become more distracted. So we should keep things in balance and ultimately become dependent upon Krishna. Because at the end of life, that is what we need to cultivate, that sense of dependence upon him. Any points?
See, Lord has said that in Bhagavatam, they said that even if you surrender unto Lord completely one, and get attached to his name, then all your sins are destroyed. And then he will direct you to a spiritual master who can be perfect. So, we just have to surrender something and get attached.
Do your best. And leave the rest.
Yes.
To Krishna.
Yes.
You know, sometimes it takes up, you know, when to surrender to Krishna and become Krishna and Draupadi. And sometimes it's not easy to understand why we have to act like Arjuna on the battlefield. You know, he has to do so many things. Krishna didn't want him to go in the forest and meditate on him and surrender to him. He wanted him to act. But it's very, very hard to understand when we really need to surrender and don't do anything on Draupadi, or when we need to fight like Arjuna.
Yeah, cool. Then that's why we have gurus. You have your Diksha Guru, you have your Shiksha Gurus, so then you go to them. That's what you do. If you get confused, then you go to the gurus, and then they will give you what? Problem solved. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient and fully independent. He is the master of everyone and everything, including the illusory energy. He has his form, qualities and features, and similarly, his order carriers, the Vaishnavas, who are very beautiful, possess bodily features, transcendental qualities, and a transcendental nature almost like his. They always wander within this world with full independence. So Prabhupada explains that the pure devotees are practically as qualified as Krishna. So you see Srila Prabhupada, he has all qualities like Krishna, practically speaking. Not like Krishna exactly, because Krishna is a supreme entity. But practically they have all the good qualities like Krishna. 50 qualities that Krishna has, the first 50 qualities, the pure devotee also possesses those qualities. So they have so many good qualities. And therefore, because of those good qualities, they can give us shelter in this material world. Yeah. So we take shelter of Krishna's devotees. Because they have the qualities of Krishna. They represent Krishna. So it's by Krishna's mercy that we are given the association of the Vaishnavas. Yeah. And by their association and by their shelter, we will be delivered back to Krishna. So we see that that is the position of the devotees. And actually Krishna says to Arjuna in the Adi Purana, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee. The one who says he is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So there's the system. The system is to take shelter of the Vaishnavas. And by their mercy we will be taken through Krishna. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Don't fall asleep in body. Okay. You must be here.
Now there's no comment to your name. Of course I actually I could hear your
okay. I'm just testing
it. Now there's good thanks.
Okay. I'm watching. The order carriers of Lord Vishnu, who are worshipped even by the demigods, possess wonderful bodily features exactly like those of Vishnu, and are very rarely seen. The Vishnu dutas protect the devotees of the Lord from the hands of enemies, from envious persons, and even from my jurisdiction, as well as from natural disturbances. Now, so Prabhupada says within the purport that the devotees are always protected. We have superior personalities looking over us. Just like one of my godbrothers, Nisringadev Prabhu, he left his body 3 days ago in Gold Coast, in Australia, like that. So he left his body. And we understand that my spiritual master came and delivered him back to a higher destination. So we are protected by higher personalities. They are looking over us continuously. Okay. And they make arrangements. Even when we're in very difficult situations, they are looking after us, they are protecting us. And they are making arrangements so that we can get back to Krishna. And Prabhupada says, actually for the devotees, there are no difficulties. Even though we go through some small difficulties, because it's the material world. But actually we're always protected, we're always sheltered. So when we're going through difficulties in this world, we don't really feel it's a difficulty. Because we feel we're in Krishna's protection. and protected by Krishna's servants. So it's not really difficult like that, because we are sheltered. So even though we go through something challenging, but actually we're always protected by Krishna. Just like when I had that car accident a few years ago. So 1 minute after the accident, then a car came along. And then we were looked after. Like that. So Krishna looks after the devotees. He protects them. So there's no anxiety for the devotees. Okay. So now we have a KMB. KMB, verse 19 and 20. The next two verses are KMB. Very important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Right. So you need to memorize these for your exam, which will be in about 2 weeks.
In Bhagavatam, verse 20 and 21 are combined together.
Yes.
So we have to learn only 20.
You only have to learn 20.
Complication is common.
No, the translation is also clearly two parts. If you read it simply.
Okay. So you need to learn verse 19 and 20. They're your key memory verses. And if you're not sure which part of the translation to learn, then ask Murali Prabhu and he will show you which part. Real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planets cannot ascertain the real religious principles. Nor can the demigods, or the leaders of Sivaloka, to say nothing of the Asuras, ordinary human beings, Vijayadharas, and Charanas. So, real religious principles are enacted by Krishna. Dharma, Tu, Shakshat, Bhagavat, Prini, and Tam. Religious principles must come from Krishna. Now, these days in India, we have another religion. What is that? What's that? That's true. But it's not the one I was thinking of. That's true. There's another religion in India these days. It's called Hindu Bindu. In other words, it is Hindu. Hinduism. But Hinduism is not, it does not come from Sanskrit. Madhav Maharaj was describing this the other morning in his class at the farm. Everything must be substantiated in Sanskrit. You must find the reference in Sanskrit to substantiate something. Dharma, Tu, Shakshat, Bhagavat, Prinipam. The Sanskrit is there. Religious principles must come from the Lord Himself. The word Hindu is not Sanskrit. Therefore, Hinduism is not authorized. That's why it's so confused these days. Now, the actual term is Bhagavat Dharma. Dharma Tu Shakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. Bhagavat Dharma, or Sanatan Dharma. That is actual religion. So we follow that path, not this sentimental path, which people follow these days. They say, I'm Hindu, I know so many things. But this is not authorized. It must be substantiated. If you cannot substantiate it, if you cannot quote a reference, a Sanskrit reference, then you have no authority.
So what does certain mean? What they mean by the knowledge of certain religion? What does that mean?
Good.
In the translation of
what? Which part?
No one can ascertain the religious principles.
If you read the purport, then Prabhupada explains. You can't understand religious principles simply by speculation. You must learn them from a spiritual master. In other words, the Vedas have to be delivered by a devotee. then you can understand what is the actual. Because Prabhupada said there's so many jnanis, but they don't understand the Siddhanta or the Vedanta, the final conclusion of the knowledge.
So, how would the people don't understand the Vedas and religious principles are done for the common man? So, if they don't understand how to follow them, not everyone can get the spiritual master, but the use of them.
Then they're not following. You see so many people, they perform all these rituals, just like you go to Indian weddings and you see them do so many things, but they don't know what they're doing. So what benefit are they getting?
They need to have a national system, dhamanas and kshatriyas to guide them. They need to have a guidance system to guide them, they need to have a spiritual system.
But then dhanashram doesn't work in Kali Yuga. So then what's the hope? The hope is this kind. Otherwise you'll come to the temple, you'll ring the bell in four directions. Right, when you come in, right, and then you'll come in front of the deity, and then you'll do all your special thing. Right? But what's the use of that? You don't even know who you're looking at, you don't know what you're doing. Right? Your intention is, you have some intention, but it's not today. Right? So unless you get instruction, just like one time Prabhupada was in the temple, and I think it was Jananda Maharaj, he was telling this pastime. I don't know if it was him or it was someone else, but it was at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And some life member had come into the temple room, and Jananda Maharaj or one of the other devotees was offering aarti. And then he turned around and the person was offering obeisances, but not properly. Like you see, they all come into the temple, and they offer their obeisances front ways. But actually that's not the system. The system is to put the left side to the deity. Right? So sometimes I'm chanting japa there, and they do that, then I say, excuse me, and then I tell them, please, you know, that's the proper way to do it. So then Prabhupada came into the temple, and he saw someone was doing that, and the pujari was offering the aarti, and he said to the pujari, he said, you should be telling them these things, how to follow properly. So then we need to give them instruction, we need to teach them. Yeah. Or it means then someone should, that should be their service. Maybe that could be your service, you can. Okay. Maybe send your daughter. She's very enthusiastic. Yeah. Okay, one more verse. Lord Brahma, Bhagavan Narada. So this is a KMV, key memory verse. 12 Mahajanas. So you need to memorize these 12 personalities. Hands up if you know there's 12 already. Okay, so if you don't know, then you have to learn this first. You have to learn who are the 12 Mahajanas. Okay. So, Lord Brahma, Bhagavan Narada, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Swayambhu Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami, and I myself know the real religious principle. My dear servants, this transcendental religious principle, which is known as Bhagavad Dharma, or surrender unto the Supreme Lord and love for Him, is uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. It is very confidential and difficult for ordinary human beings to understand. But if I by chance, but if by chance one fortunately understands it, he is immediately liberated, and thus he returns home back to Godhead. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that if you do not receive your mantra in disciplic succession, your mantra does not have effect. So you must learn the Bhagavatam through authorized representatives, which means through these Mahajanas and their representatives. Then the Bhagavatam's message and the holy name which you receive has potency. But if you do not receive it through these personalities, the mantra you chant and your study of the Vedas, it does not have correct potency. You will not get the final goal. So you must be following the footsteps of the Mahajanas. Mahajan Mina Kata Sapanta. You must be following their footsteps. In the civil succession, their current modern day representative. like Madhava Maharaj, like Devamrita Swami, like Bhana Maharaj, all three of them will be in Melbourne tomorrow, simultaneously. I don't even read a song again, but I think they're all three of them are in Melbourne already. So this is the potency. You must follow the modern representatives of the Acharyas.
Sure, Prabhupada, the key? Yeah.